Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew Podcast, episode 46.
Yeah, 46. We're almost halfway to 100. That's pretty crazy, right?
That is pretty crazy. We're almost halfway to the 100. That's pretty crazy.
We gotta have.
Sorry, I'm getting senile with my 46.
We gotta. Yeah, you are. This early onset Alzheimer's. It's a tragedy. He was so sharp. He was such a sharp guy, and then slowly,
yeah.
He's disappearing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to our to the podcast we personified as a human being going through its life. Yep. My gosh, it's so sad. But don't worry, we'll truck through. We'll see how it is at 50. Maybe some, you know, new cognitive therapies in the fake podcast land, you know, made things better.
Let's see. Right? Let's watch 18-year-olds find us revolting. The very thought of us. Think of us as father figures and not in like a weird sort of, I have a sorted past sexual way. So I got an email from my mom addressed to Black and Jew, and I think it's probably one of the most insulting emails I've ever heard, just because it's coming from a Jewish mother, right? Let me read it to you. What happened to all of that interesting political and social commentary you guys used to do? I miss that. Your personal lives are interesting, but your reaction to issues is, I have to admit, a little more fascinating. I have to be honest. Love, Jewish mother. So my mom essentially is saying that my life is boring and she'd rather just us talk about other things.
I mean, if you break it down to the essentials, yes.
That's literally what she's saying.
Well, I think she dressed it up real nice and I think she does have a point. I mean, but to be fair to us,
yeah.
To us, not to you, the most significant thing that has happened, well, aside from just the two of us, is you moving to LA
mm-hmm.
and your adjustment to there. And I think that's very interesting. And I think a lot of people want to, well, you know what, from what your mom has written, no.
No, I mean, if my mom doesn't want to hear about it, that means probably no one else wants to hear about it.
True. I why didn't I see this? Once your own mother is not interested in how you're doing.
And she's constantly calling me and saying, oh, how's it going? How are things? You know? And
just check my podcast, Mom. That's how you'll know how I'm doing.
That's what I tell my family. Like, do you listen? We cover this in the podcast. I'm not going over this with you again. I'm not going to give
you
a personal. I don't care if it's your birthday, Dad.
Gather around the laptop and play the Black and Jew podcast.
Oh, that's what Mike's up to. That's good. That's the whole reason I did the podcast, so I don't have to talk to my mom on the phone. That's the whole reason I started. Thankfully, I will say that today I am well rested, and I'm not going to ruin this episode like I did with the last episode with my lack of nap. I was very angry with myself for my negativity in the last one. I'm like a little
Don't
kid.
Worry.
He gets grumpy when he's not sleeping right.
Don't worry. The listeners know very well that it was just an isolated incident.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an isolated incident. I'll make sure to nap before the recording next time. Yeah. So I actually, I'm going to talk about some personal stuff because screw you, Mom. You don't own me. I went hiking this morning.
This is my podcast, Mom. I do whatever I want.
I went hiking this morning.
Nice.
And I think LA it might be really spoiling me with the majestic views. Because I drove literally 15 minutes from my house, and I hiked up a mountain and saw this amazing view of like the Verdugo Mountains and downtown Los Angeles and the entire Southern Valley. I don't know what valley it is. It's not the San Bernardino. I forget what valley it is, but it's not the valley. Like when people say the valley in LA, I think they're referring to like the Northern San Bernardino Valley, but it's the other valley that's south of the Hollywood Hills. But yeah, I got to see this amazing view of all these mountains and then downtown LA, and it's like nature and downtown and then all the, and like the clouds and shit. It was beautiful. But I wonder how long before I'm just like, meh, just like I am with tropical beaches. Like in Miami, you see a tropical beach, you're like, whatever.
Like whatever. Sand, great weather. We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least you're, you know, looking at the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's probably people that have lived in LA for who knows how long that have never like hiked and saw all of LA, you know, like those classic movie shots where it just pans out.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. This is the city.
It's beautiful. It's really crazy.
I've never been hiking.
How beautiful.
You've never been hiking?
Never been hiking? I'm jealous of you. It's, yeah. You know, when I used to think of hiking, I think like I got my pack and I got, you know, I'm going to the, you know, going to have like a walking stick and pack some food. But really, it's just kind of a walk with an incline. That's what it is. You know, there's nowhere to hike in Miami. Where are you going to hike in the fucking Everglades? It's funny. They come to Miami. They're like, I want to see the Everglades. Like, why? Why would you want to do that? And then they go and they're like,
nothing to do with the Everglades.
Yeah, it's like a fucking swamp. Like, you avoid swamps. Like, swamps are bad.
Out of all natural biomes found in the earth, you don't want to go to swamps. Swamps are where corpses just, like, you just lose bodies in swamps.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Monsters come from swamps. Monsters don't come from, like, you know, beautiful mountains, you know?
Yeah.
Just swamps are by far ranked on Reggie's lowest on the Reggie tier of favorite biomes.
Yeah,
right?
Especially even in Minecraft, you know? There's no good wood in the swamp biomes. There's no good... Like, you can find some clay, maybe, and then smelt that into bricks, but that's about it, you know? Swamps suck, and then there's, like, poisonous shit in them. No thank you.
Exactly. And alligators, which are essentially just like modern dinosaurs, live in swamps.
Yeah. So fuck swamps as a kid.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I'm trying to figure out which valley.
What else was with the hike? Like, what else happened?
Yeah, man, I just went up this really amazing hill with Hugo because we're training Hugo now. We found a woman who is a disciple of Cesar Millan, and she like Wait. She works yeah she's like he has all these trainers that he works with, and it was like having Cesar in the house. It was super cool, and she showed us how to train Hugo. So I'm training Hugo now. I gotta walk him for like 45 minutes a day, and I gotta, like, we're training him to be like, you know, we're doing that whole thing that Cesar does, and we're like, shh, no. You know, because apparently Hugo does not respect us at all. And
really?
Yes, it's very apparent that he does not respect us when this woman pointed this out, that he has no respect for us. He respects me a lot more than he respects Christine, because Christine has trouble being stern, because it's really funny to watch her be stern with Hugo, because she's like, no, Hugo, we do not do that. And I'm like, he doesn't know what the fuck you're saying. Like, you're not sending that message. You're sending the message. You could be saying to him, Hugo, I enjoy pineapples. Like, that's what he hears. He doesn't hear scolding, you know, because one thing she taught us is like, dogs don't speak English. You know, they speak, you know, Spanish and Norwegian. They do not speak English. So
do they really?
Yep. They only speak Spanish. And in Christine's case, actually, he does speak Spanish, because essentially what she's saying is obviously they don't speak English, but sometimes we talk to dogs and like with the assumption that they know what the fuck we're saying, but they're very binary, you know, they're either like good or bad. Like, that's all they understand from us, you know? And I think Christine and Hugo's case, he only speaks Spanish because she can really only be assertive when she's speaking Spanish. Like, it's much harder. Like, she'll be like, Hugo, sit. But in Spanish, she'll be like, siéntate, cálmate, you know? So she'll be a little bit more assertive in Spanish. So that's she taught us little things like that. She taught us that, like, when he leaves, she was saying that we think of it as separation anxiety. Like, oh, he loves us so much. And that's why he freaks out when he leaves, because that's a big problem, is he freaks out when we leave. But she said it's not separation anxiety. She puts in air quotes. She's like, what it is that he doesn't respect us, and he feels like he's the alpha of the house. And when we leave, he's like, how dare you? That's he's like, I'm the fucking pack leader. How dare you leave without me telling you I could leave. But like, whether the psychology behind that is sound, the results are working. So, you know, it could be wrong. You know, there's not as much study into it, and we don't really know. But the fact is that he does not fucking respect us at all. Like, he especially does not respect Christine.
Make him respect you.
Exactly. Like, he'll jump all over you. He'll fucking bark. Like, he'll leave. Like, a big thing is he always walks out the front door in front of us. You know, or if we open the door, he just bolts out. But you need to teach him respect, that it's like, no, you leave when I say you leave. I leave first, and then you need permission to leave. And another thing too is like, we put him in the bedroom, and then he has to get permission to come out. Like, he doesn't do anything unless he has our permission, and he doesn't have free roam of the house. Like, he doesn't, we used to feed throughout the day, like eat whenever he wants, but now we feed him, so he sees us as the master, and it's fucking working amazing. Like he's That's so awesome. Different. Yeah.
That is so cool. See, I like see that. No, okay, now. That's awesome. Why do I think that's awesome? Because animals are troublesome.
Yeah, he's a dickhead.
They are. Yes, exactly. All animals are just. If animals were people, like if all animals tomorrow became people, they'd be the worst people. You would not hang out with your animal.
No.
You like him with your animal. I'm so mean.
It's true though. He's such an asshole. He's such an like. If he was not this cute, like he wouldn't be here. Let's be honest. He's a dick.
Yeah. Like, but if you were missing an eye, Hugo, we probably wouldn't like you as much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's, you know, and she said something that was so interesting. She said, you got to respect him as a dog. He's a dog. He's not a person. You got to respect his dogness. And you got to realize that you're part of a pack, you know. And I think that's so true because you think of dogs as humans sometimes. Yeah. And you think, and since he's really cute and really fluffy, he doesn't think he's cute and fluffy. He thinks he's a bad motherfucker, you know? And she's like, yeah, he jumps all over you. Would you let a fucking Rottweiler do that? And it's like, no, actually I wouldn't, you know? So, yeah, like we're teaching him. She says like it was so bad. Like I'm supposed to take him on these walks and I have this special leash that goes around the base of his skull. It's just like goes up around his neck. So it's not squeezing on his trachea. And anytime he fucks up or does something you don't want him to do, you have to yank him. So he's like, ah, shit. And like, I shouldn't do that anymore. And when you're going for a walk with him, he needs to be walking behind you or on your side, never leading the walk, right? So we got to take on these 45-minute walks every day. And I just, like, I have to keep correcting him. And fuck, where was I going with this? Oh, God damn it. I totally lost it. But yeah.
So you take him on these walks and yeah. Like, what's he doing on these walks that like, you're always correct. Is that where you wanted to go with that?
Where, like, yeah. Yeah. Cause like he needs to constantly be, corrected. Fuck. No, that wasn't it. I don't remember. Anyway, it's been working out good for Hugo because, okay. Well, because
that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy to see who's boss, you know?
Do those things work with cats? Can you train cats like
cats don't give a fuck. Cats don't give a fuck. I've seen a cat whisperer TV show. and yeah, like he's a cat trainer and it's way different. It's not like cats are so different than dogs, like in terms of what they were bred for, in terms of, you know, cats do their own thing. Like you can train them to like, you can correct bad behaviors, but they're not dogs. Like dogs are a man's, like he's like, it feels like we're training a slave essentially. It's really bad, but like it's dogs are like that. Like they were bred to get all the animal out of them and suppress their instincts and be fucking a tool for humans, you know? And
that's how we get,
and they thrive. Yeah. They thrive under that structure, but cats, they've been allowed to keep their natural instincts because, you know, their utility is catching mice and shit like that. So like they're not there to be subservient to it. They don't look at us as like a leader. They look at us as like some fucking asshole that hangs around.
So just because someone messed up in domesticating cats somewhere along the line, that's why they rest on your laptop.
Exactly. Because they were allowed to catch rats and they're like, fuck you. I don't give a shit. Oh, was that an important email? I don't fucking care.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's good to, you had a Caesar Milan disciple.
Yeah. She was awesome. It was like having Caesar in the house, you know? It's like having Caesar in the house. Yeah, it's a new leash. It's like a leash that goes around like the top of his neck so you don't choke him. He's a little dickhead. Oh, I remember what she was saying. I remember what I forgot in my train of thought was that she's like, you wouldn't let a Rottweiler do this shit and jump on you. So why the fuck are you letting him do it? Because he doesn't, like, just because he's small doesn't mean that this is correct behavior. You know, she laid down the fucking law with him. Mm-hmm. And he was like looking at us the whole time like, what the fuck? You're going to let this lady come in here and do this shit? And we're like, yep.
I want, if I ever get a dog, I want a Caesar Milan disciple in my place.
Hell yeah, dude.
I just keep on approaching animals with like, just, I'm just being really rational with you. Please don't do that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they obviously don't get it, and that's that's been my approach to, like, pretty much all animals I've ever encountered. Like,
yeah,
no, and then I get frustrated because I know that my no is just, they don't understand it. They don't understand no. I just, like, when I say get out of the kitchen, like, duh, you don't know why I don't want you in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just, they just don't get it, so.
That's actually, that's the two things they understand is no and yes, but you got to, like, beat it out of him because he's been used to, not literally beat it out of, but, like, he's used to, like, you know, being, having his run of the house, and we're like, no, that's not, shit's not going to fly anymore. It's, and she told us that when he jumps on us to, like, kind of nudge him away, right? And, like, you know, you kind of don't, like, kick him hard, but, like, nudge him with your foot or with your knee. And we were on a hike and we were at these falls. And we're just, like, sitting and having lunch, and Hugo kept, like, jumping on Christine, and she kind of, like, nudged him, but she nudged him a little too hard, and, like, he fell on his back, like, and almost hit a rock, and these people were looking at us like, the fuck? Like, you're fucking dog abuser. Because you, people look at the shit that we do with him, like the shit the trainer told us to do, and, like, they would probably think it's abuse, you know? But it's not, because it doesn't hurt him. It's like, you know, you'll like, kind of poke him in the neck, but it's uncomfortable, but it's like, it's not gonna, it doesn't physically hurt him. It's just like, dude, chill the fuck out, you know?
It's like, bro, could you calm down, bro?
Just bro, chill, bro. Chill, bro.
Back. I think dogs falling is hilarious because they're not bendy and flexible or like agile like cats. So, like, when they fall, it's like a fray of limbs just flailing everywhere. And then it's very ungraceful. One of the, like, most ungraceful things in the world.
Yeah, dogs falling is not... A cat falls gracefully. So much so that it's been used as an analogy, but dogs do not fall gracefully.
No, they do not. Well, hey, poke that Hugo. Poke him. Walk him on a special leash. Let him know who's boss.
Yeah, it's exhausting to do. Like, it's exhausting for him, but it's exhausting for me. I'm like, fuck. I feel so bad because, like, he's in the other room and I want him near me. You know, but it's really bad for him. And then you feel bad because it's like, fuck, he wants to be near us and he's in this other room where, like, it's like punishment almost. But, you know, the dog trainer's like, he's not a person. Like, that's not how he thinks. He thinks way differently. So you need to cut that shit out right now.
So wait, so you can't, like, be near him like you would with like another person, basically. So, like, if he's in the other room, leave him in the other room, right?
Yeah, he's got, and he can come out of the other room, but we have to give him permission to come out.
Like, oh, okay.
He can't just be like, he can't like come out of the room at his own accord. He has to, it's hard because he's super adorable. Even the dog trainer was like, he's so fucking cute. He's the cutest. She sees dogs all the time. She's like, he's so cute. But but it's funny. It's adorable what he does, though, because we have him sitting next to the bed on this blanket, and like, we'll be in the living room. And he'll kind of come out like a little kid that knows that he's doing something wrong. And he'll like look at us and we're like, back, Hugo. And he like, and he'll like go skulk back, you know, like kind of sulk back. Last night it was funny because I was trying to get him to go in the bedroom and he like was like, he like pretended like he was getting his water, but then went into the kitchen like a little rebellious teenager. And then like, no, back in the room. And then he goes like under this table, like takes this leisurely, you know, route. And then he goes in the bathroom. I'm like, why the fuck are you going to the bathroom? You're just being a dick. And then he goes back in the room, then goes to the wrong side of the bed. So like, I can kind of nudge him in the butt. I'm like, go back to your bed. And he knows, you know, where he's supposed to go. He just is like, you know, being a little rebel and trying to assert his dominance. But shit ain't going to happen no more.
No, Hugo the wrench, you in a different territory now.
The wrench Vasquez. I'm turning you into Hugo the wet noodle. So
why'd we leave Miami for this? I'm at the bottom now.
Yeah. So I was on Gawker today and I saw this hilarious thing about how Rupert Murdoch drunk tweets, and that's why his tweets are so weird.
Wait, Rupert Murdoch drunk tweets?
Yeah, that's why he has this one tweet. On January 26th, it just yesterday, it says Poe. That's it, P-O. Like, he's fucking drunk. And this one person, this random Twitter user, says, there's a person I know in a senior position at News UK who tells me they know Rupert Murdoch is often drunk when he tweets. And it sounds like, because Rupert Murdoch goes like, he goes crazy. Like in this one, he says, he just mentions himself, like at Rupert Murdoch. And he says, to hell with politicians. When are we going to find some to tell the truth in any country? Don't hold your breath. Oops, better ignore the last tweet. Sorry, I have been busy lately with many preoccupations. Luis Mensch. That's all he says. Luis Mensch.
Luis Mensch. You know, I think there's probably like he's taking Twitter to the next level. That's why he's drunk tweeting. Like people drunk tweet, but Rupert Murdoch's really trying to like find that fine line where it's like, oh right, I'm a drunk tweet. And he's probably the best comedy Twitter out there right now.
Hell yeah. I love it when someone like old people think they're searching, but they're not. They're tweeting. This is hilarious. It says, believe Gawker, believe any nonsense, because he found this article. And someone goes, for what it's worth, a former Fox News producer says he was pretty well known around Fox as a lush. He invited everyone to a party to watch the Democratic primaries, and he ignored everyone and pounded red wine the entire time. And so, then he just started grumbling incoherently about Obama and Hillary. That's amazing. It's amazing.
He's on TV, right? Or is he a radio personality? Which one?
Rupert Murdoch owns Fox News.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That guy.
Yeah, all Rupert right. Murdoch owns Fox News and all these like tabloids and shit. Yeah. He's a right cunt.
I want to be that rich where like drunk tweeting is like just totally excused from me. I need to be that level of rich.
Yeah.
Where like I invite people to my party and I can ignore them. Like I have 20 rooms in this house. I don't need to be in this room. The other one's a bowling alley. Y'all suck.
Yeah, damn. It's funny Rupert how like Murdoch. Shitty qualities, unfortunately, are really good for being successful. Like just not giving a fuck, you know? Like being insensitive is great for success.
Yeah, look, when you can like not care, okay, you can significantly increase the amount of money you have if you care about people less.
Yeah, like, it's true. A chart.
Like yeah. If you care about people less, you will get more money. All right, when you can look at like a village inside the Amazon and say, yeah. I don't want any of these people here. I just want to collect the acai berries and just screw these people. Then yeah. you will your wealth will exponentially grow.
Like, I think even on like a smaller level than that, even it's like if you could do what, because if you're a boss, you need to make hard decisions that are unpopular. That's just the truth yeah. of the matter. So it's like if you need to lay people off for the health of the company, you're in a much better position. If you're just like, sorry.
I'm fine. Boom. Yeah, exactly.
Even if you don't want to do it, because you don't necessarily have to be a bad person, but it's just like,
yeah,
well.
You don't necessarily have to be a bad person.
You have to make like tough decisions. Yeah, exactly. You got to make tough decisions. That's why, you know, it's funny because I'm.
Rupert Murdoch.
What were you saying? It's going to be more interesting.
I was
interesting.
Just going to say, like, it's a very, I can see the power move that Rupert Murdoch played off when he invited everyone and he just got drunk at his own party.
Yeah.
You really going to say something right now? No, I'm intimidating all of you. You're inside my house. We're watching the Democrats and I'm drunk. All right. You can't say nothing. and you know, in the back of everybody's mind, they were like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to watch this and just be here. That's it. Power moves, power plays.
You got to find right? that power balance.
That's how business. That's why he's a businessman. That's why he owns Fox.
Yep.
Because
you don't give
up.
Fuck.
I would never think about getting drunk at my own party and then just grumbling.
Yeah, that's amazing. But that's the kind of shit that you don't really give a fuck. You're just like, all right. So I gotta say, I'm doing this internship and it's really proving to be effective to do the thing that I thought that it would do. And I gotta say, I'd say this like small management company, right? There's like six managers and then three assistants working there. And they're super fucking cool people. Like my favorite part of the day is when I'm at a lunch meeting, like we all have lunch together in the conference room and then they talk about like different like people that they know. Like, they know some, like, they have, they're pretty well connected with some people. So I get to just hear stories about how, like, it just, it's like an insight into how the industry works and how people are viewed. And it's interesting to see that side of it, like the business side of it, because like these people are just
like the sterile side.
Yeah. Or the creative side, you know, it's like these people are business people, but like they breach creativity and business. And it's really interesting just to watch them, how they talk about different acts. Like, oh, this person, you know, like they'll be like, this girl's super hot, but she's going to need some acting classes. Like, that's what they said about the, like, yeah, she's going to need some acting classes, but she's super hot. You know, and one of them was talking about a celebrity that will go unnamed, but they were saying how I don't know how much I can divulge. I'm just going to say, they go, he's so blank. And, he is so, let's call him Jim. She's like, oh, Jim is so Jim. Like when I saw him, he was so Jim. And it's like, that's the public perception I had of him. And I'm like, that's amazing that, that he's actually like that in real life. I'll tell you who it is after the podcast, but it was super funny. Like, yeah, I don't want to like fucking fuck over.
You don't want to, you're where the stars are at. You got to keep you got to keep face. All right.
It's crazy.
Jim could be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Just if any of them hear about it and like, listen, and they're like, they're talking shit about it, but no, they don't really say anything bad, but it's a cool place to intern at. Cause like the people are fucking cool as shit. Like, they're really awesome people and I really enjoy spending time there. It feels good to be back in an office again too after treatment. But yeah, it's funny because like you have this like slick view of Hollywood people, you know, and I'm like, these people are actually just super cool. They're just like normal laid back people, like a little bit more laid back than I thought they would be. Hey, some agencies, apparently they do coke in the conference room, but not at this one. The most illicit thing I've seen here is they play ping pong sometimes. That's a big thing. I actually saw on one job application, it says it must be good at ping pong.
Oh, really?
That's really, yeah.
What if that was the lifeblood of the entertainment industry, like ping pong?
The biggest deals happen over ping pong.
Yeah, like the reason why Tom Hanks is as big as he is because he's genuinely very good at ping pong.
It's a great ping pong player. It's funny because I got to do schedules for people, like put in like, this is where they're flying, this is their itinerary. And I'm like, oh man, your life is so much cooler than mine. Putting in these these numbers,
you get that's not very. I would think that doing that job would just it kind of wear down at me, because like I get to see awesome things people are doing. Don't start thinking about it that way, but
yeah, it's kind of meh. But you know, everyone has that shit part.
Everyone starts somewhere.
Everyone start like, you know, so everyone has their salad days. I would say for me, I'm not really in my salad days. I'm still waiting for a table to open up. That's kind of where I'm at. But
you're outside with the little square that vibrates.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not even inside, sitting on the bench.
At Outback Steakhouse with a little square and there's no seats left.
I just wanted to get a Bloomin' Onion, but now I got to wait.
It's funny because like there's it's just like crazy how competitive it is in this industry. Like I heard of one, like an assistant position opened up somewhere, and the person who was doing the hiring told me that they got 600 applications.
What?
600.
600. Yeah.
600 for an assistant position. Assistant positions, you know, they're pretty hard here. Like, you know, like you got to do a lot of shit. You're running someone's business or life, you know, the assistant, but people, dude, it's fucking insane though. Like the hours are like 8 or like 9 to 9 most of the time, or 8 to 9. And it's funny because you see this romanticized version of like the industry, but really from what I've seen, it's just like an office job. Like people are sitting in the office, they're making phone calls. They're like, hey, oh, you want to do this? You want to make this deal? Hey, could you put that in my calendar? Hey, we're flying here. Like, it's like an office job, kind of.
Okay. Damn, that's awesome. And Mike killing it at the intern. Mike killing it with Hugo. Dang. And you're not tired and you're sipping some water. You know what? Going up. Nothing from here.
On the upside.
On the upswing.
Yeah.
How about that, Mike's mom?
Yeah.
How about that for a check-in?
Yeah. How about you listen to this instead of having me call you in the middle of doing something? Got things to do. So let's change gears for a second.
You want to change gears?
Let's talk about Bill Cosby.
We have not touched Bill Cosby, have we?
We have not talked Bill Cosby. We have not touched Bill Cosby.
We have not talked Bill Cosby.
But man, okay. Things are not looking good for the Bold Pudding Man. Let's say that.
Nope. Haven't been looking good since the 90s. I mean,
good, but it shouldn't have been looking good.
Yes, there you go. That shouldn't have been looking good. I actually did not know about that. When I first heard about Bill Cosby, you know, and his allegations,
yeah,
which I am wholly convinced are all real.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So you think they're real?
Yeah,
I don't see how you could think otherwise. I've heard other opinions, but I'm like, dude, no.
Exactly.
this totally happened.
I think they're all real. One, because any victim, I'm on their side. I don't care.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise, which hasn't been done in this specific case. No, I am 100% certain he did all that, and then
30 people don't say that unless it fucking happened.
30?
I don't know. That's the number I'm throwing out.
I was at 14 last time. I was gonna say holy, 30?
How many women is it?
I think it was 14.
A complete list of all the women who have accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault. Yeah, man, and I don't buy this. Oh no, it's 33 people.
It's
33. Yeah, not 14. Jesus, that's horrible.
It's 33 individuals. How much money do you think Bill Cosby has? This is in reference to the people that think they're all just after his money. You think if you are really a gold digger, as some people are saying, you're going to hop on the same scam as other gold diggers? Like 33, he cannot, how is he going to shut up 33 people? And why are 33 people just that's a good idea. Let's all jump on that bandwagon and take his, no.
This is the one that gets me thinking too. This is a recent one, okay? This woman said she got raped by him in 1969, and she's a former executive. She's obviously has a lot of money. She doesn't fucking need anything from him. Mm-hmm. It's just the only reason is to come out, you know?
Yeah, the only reason is to, one, stand in solidarity with all those that came
out.
Yeah. And she finally, all right, since everyone's coming out, I feel more confident in myself. I'm not alone. There's voices, and I want to add my voice to those voices and, bring to light this horrible man who what I was saying earlier is that, it was around, 2013 when I first read about it.
Yeah.
I read about it in 2013 because I think there was, a revival. Yes, and I hate saying it this way, but there was a revival in the Woody Allen, right?
Yeah.
And then I read an article that said, well, there's that, but there's also Bill Cosby. And I'm like, wait, what? And then I read it, and Bill Cosby, when I read it, had since the 90s, had women coming out in magazines saying, yes, Bill Cosby had done this. And, Bill Cosby's legal team reached out or did whatever and, silenced it.
Yeah.
And now, because of Hannibal Buress' joke, which I actually saw performed live at Gramps. I saw him
do
that joke. Yes, I did.
No shit.
I saw him perform that joke. And then, there were people in the crowd that were, saying, yes, that did happen. Yes. Agreeing and, not thanking Hannibal, but, in line with what Hannibal was saying in the joke,
Yeah.
And they knew about this, and they weren't gasping or surprised two people in the audience were, if I remember correctly. There were two people that were just like, "What? No. No, he's America's dad." And it's like, and then Hannibal, very well crafted joke. Hannibal's "That doesn't matter. He did that." And you'll find more if you Google search Hannibal rape and Bill Cosby rape, you're going to get way more hits for Bill Cosby. And then, you know, that was a big punchline in the yeah. laugh. But yeah, I saw him perform that joke. I mean, there's probably something to be said about like, and Haley turned me on to this quote, or like this woman that said, like, why did it take a man to speak up, to make a joke for this to finally come to light? Like,
because only men are the only credible people. Everyone knows women are hysterical and can't control their emotions.
Just drink some of your tonic water.
Calm down, Ethel. Bill Cosby didn't do nothing. Have you seen his sweaters? He's the Jell-O man. Come on. Yeah, it's true. You know, people don't. It's like guys will defend a girl if a girl says this thing happened to me, like they'll be like, oh, whatever. But if how do I say this? No, that was a stupid thought. But yeah, I think it's like the idea that men have more credibility, and I think also because it's I don't think it's just because he's a man. And like, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of sex baiting. Just because you hear, like, sometimes you, what bothers me sometimes is like people take these situations and like try to turn it into something that it's not. And it's like, has it been that there have, cause like, look at the reason that it's, that this went viral is because this is the first time that it's been prominently featured in the public eye and it's had the ability to go viral, you know? And it was someone someone who was outside of the allegations, you know, mentioning this. Cause it's like, I don't know how comparable it is. Cause it's like, is it that a bunch of women comedians have made this joke in the age of Twitter and then nothing gets picked up, then a man comedian makes a joke? No, it's that no one has really been discussing it that much in the age of Twitter, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that's what it was. I don't think it's just because it was a man, even though, you know, there is something to be said about women not being believed because men, I saw a great article about that. I forget where, but it was saying how like men don't see women being harassed in front of them because a woman's more respected when she's with a man. Cause it's like, you know, you're not going to grab a girl's ass if she's with a dude, but if she's alone, then you might. So guys never see a girl randomly getting her ass grabbed. So therefore they think, no, it doesn't happen. Cause you know, some people lack empathy, but I think that has something to do with it, is like, you know, men are more credible, but I don't think that's the only reason, you know?
Yeah. Men also just receive a very sterile view of the world too. Just like, it's all like very clean and pristine, you know? It's just like, it goes back to when we said things, you know, when we said about like our experiences with cops.
Yeah.
Yours have been relatively very positive and mine, you know, haven't. And I always try and avoid them. So yeah. You know, like men just receive a vastly different worldview, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if you've only ever received Bill Cosby as this, and you're not actively seeking out to like, you know, check Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing, you know, no one's really like thinking about like, you know what, I think he did it, let me go find out, you know, just you're not gonna, it's gonna be really hard for, it's a tough pill for you to swallow.
Yeah.
And it's just, and like, it's, you're totally right, like he has never been brought to light now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It always comes back like, if from what I've read before, like there were allegations in these magazines during this time, and now they came out during this time. Like, it always comes back.
But
and
it's never come back in the age of social media where it's just, it's proliferates. The proliferation is fucking insane. Like, you can't cover it up. There's not, like, you can choke media out. Like, before, it used to be, you have media outlets, you had a lot, but you could choke them, you know? You could make them afraid of a lawsuit, but you can't choke Twitter. You can't choke it anymore. So that's the environment that we're growing up in, is where one where you can't suppress these things anymore. And that's why I think, not just because a man said it, even though that definitely has something to do with it, but that's the environment that we're growing up in, or that we're living in now. So.
Yeah. And like, there was and one example of that is like when his Twitter, like the Bill Cosby Twitter account, was like, Hey guys, now you can meme Bill Cosby. And people meme.
Oh, that was hilarious. Like, what the fuck? What kind of moron does that in the middle of a fucking rape Jesus Christ. Well, only a 77-year-old would think that was a good idea.
It was probably his 77-year-old marketing director who's like, memes, I just learned about these. My grandson told me. Here, I'll have all the kids that are Bill Cosby fans have a meme Cosby.
They were like automatic potato slicers when I was a kid. The hot new craze.
Hot new craze, memes. Memes, you know what is this, Pepe the Frog?
And I think it's hilarious, too, that people are like, well, why do these girls wait so long? It's like, have you read the comment section on any article about this? Mm-hmm. Like, do you see what kind of bullshit?
Street harassment comments?
Have you read your own comment that you just made about this? Like, you just answered your own question. Because when people say that they've been raped, they're like, no, they haven't. You're wrong about the thing that happened to you.
Yeah, what's that? There's a law. Well, not a law, like, but the thing. There's like a law in like, not a. It's not a like a legal law, but it's like a law, like the law of gravity, stuff like that.
A physical law,
where it's like any comment on any feminist issue or feminist blog justifies feminism. Like right under.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've never heard of that concept before, but it's totally true.
Yeah, it's an actual thing that someone named and actually like said out on Twitter, actually. Like,
yeah.
Where it's like anything ever posted under any article, comment, or like situation involving like feminists and feminism justifies feminism. And yeah. it always comes to light. Like, well, what are these bitches complaining about? He has a lot of money. Just get the hush money. That's it. No. What people are forgetting was that Bill Cosby was in an environment that fostered this. You know, like no one was checking him. No one was like, Bill, that's disgusting. Sorry, you're going to jail. Like, you're a horrible human being.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Just shit happened. No one talked about it.
Yeah.
I think another reason people stay on Bill Cosby's side, men stay on Bill Cosby's side, is because, you know, it's more the big problem in the sphere of rape accusations is that rapes go unreported. That's the big problem. But there is an overblown issue where with false rape accusations, right? And most men think that it happens a lot more than it actually does. But there is that fear that you could be accused of rape and then it just destroys your life and you have done nothing wrong. Right?
Yeah, I see.
Like just with you could be flattened with an accusation alone. And I think that when men are defending Bill Cosby, they're not just defending him, they're defending their own benefit of the doubt, so to speak.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. Like through like okay, Bill Cosby being as iconic of a figure as he is, that like the discussion of accusation, like that that discussion has reached a whole new level. Like what goes into an accusation and how much does it affect the person accused? In the case of Bill Cosby, very much. And in the case of like individuals that have been accused and haven't done anything, it does affect their life. Like there was actually some like talk about this on NPR about like one individual who was falsely accused who actually had to, you know, leave their college. They couldn't go to college there anymore.
I heard about that too, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was overwhelming evidence that he was falsely accused. Like they found diaries of the girl talking about him in a good light, something like that. But I mean, I read the story and it was obvious that this girl, I think her diary was found or something, that this girl had sex with this guy and it was consensual. And then she kind of panicked because her mom found out about this instance and then turned it into a rape accusation, right? Maybe, you know, the guy was in it. The point being though, that like, it's not impossible, you know, but it's not impossible. And this guy had to leave the school. This guy is a rapist. Cause if someone accused you of being a rapist, you're a rapist, you know, like you don't like in the public eye, you're a rapist regardless of what happens in the court of law. And, you know, people have the power to sink you like that. And that's scary, I think, for a lot of guys. But really the bigger problem is that, you know, women are that rapes are underreported. You know, but I think that there's still in the back of your mind, you're like, fuck, well, Bill Cosby was just accused. He wasn't convicted in a court of law, which doesn't really mean anything.
But like that's affecting his life in a way that's very yeah. different than like going to jail, you know? And
yeah.
I understand that fear, but I still don't, you know, so like.
Yeah. I mean, you're an asshole. You're an asshole if you're defending him. Yeah.
How many false accusations are ruining people's lives?
They're so rare. Yeah. I mean, how many people do you know personally that have been?
I don't want to be insensitive and say that they're not. They are.
No, they exist. They exist. I don't think they're an epidemic like a lot of people make them out to be on the internet. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, like it's like you're in the interest of helping to solve this minuscule problem, you're fucking up the battle to solve this way big problem. If you catch my drift. You know, it's like yeah. it's like that's a small problem. Like you're not really you're really just causing more harm than good. More because it's like how many people do you know who were leveled by false rape accusations? Like not many. How many women do you know that got raped and didn't report it? Probably a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I was in a when I was in a dream. I was in this this support group for cancer survivors, and we were just talking about everything. And the amount of girls in this group who had been sexually assaulted was astounding. It was a lot of them.
In the cancer survivor group?
Yeah. Just because we're talking about everything, you know, it didn't have to be related to cancer. And they were like, so many of them came out as being molested and raped. And none of them said anything, you know? And it's like, but I didn't hear any guys say, yeah, you know, someone falsely accused me of rape.
Yeah. Like no one's coming forth with that. Well, one, because it rarely happens. And then two,
it's a rare thing, you know, like it's hard to find the statistics, but it's not a huge thing. But I think that's why guys defend Bill Cosby, which they shouldn't. Because it's like, dude, 33 people, you know, like, come on.
33 individuals. And their stories are very consistent with like the nature, you know, of the attack.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like how badly did you want him to be your dad that it just supersedes yeah. all of this?
How badly how much do you like Jell-O? Jesus.
How great was him sitting down and telling jokes that it did this? And you know what, Bill Cosby, I mean, I understand his commitment to comedy. I get it. The Cosby Show is a great show. You know what? It is a very great show. It's a pioneer in sitcoms and all that stuff. I respect that. It brought forth a young Lisa Bonet. Thank you very much, Lord. But like, Bill Cosby is still an awful person.
He's a horrible. And the arrogance with which the lack of sensitivity and arrogance with which he defends himself is another fucking problem. You know. Like when we had that show and the guy's like, Cosby's like, how dare you say that to me?
Oh yeah. When he was on the radio, right?
I think, no, he was on the radio or like in an I think it was during a show, you know, he's just like, how dare you? Like, cause he doesn't say, no, I didn't do it. You know, he's like angry that people would accuse him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I'd react, but if I was falsely accused of rape, I'd be like, look, I know it's an incredibly sensitive subject. But I didn't, you know, like, this didn't happen. And it's a horrible thing that's going on. Not like how fucking dare you, you know, like, and that's another thing. It's like, you're, like being successful and being a dick. It's just like that kind of arrogance has, I guess, served him well, because he just thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants, you know, and like he doesn't care about obviously stepping on people's toes or anything like that.
Yeah, he does have like a long history of arrogance about him. Hannibal Buress brought this up in the joke, and I've in what I've observed of Cosby, I've noticed this myself too. But he was like, Hannibal Buress says, he's like, oh, he's so stuck up. Like, he's like, hey, little niggas, put your pants up, you know, like,
yeah.
Like, Cosby constantly plays respectability politics. Like, he was all about like black kids pulling their pants up. Like,
yeah.
Get out of here, man. Like, what does having pants down matter? It doesn't.
Looks like you should keep your pants up, Bill. Ha ha! I'm sure that joke hasn't been made 300 or 400 times so far.
Yeah, the statistics show that, like, when black people actually dress, like, nice, they actually get pulled over more, or, like, they get, like, you know, more trouble with the cops. Like, just read the statistics. Like, pulling your pants up doesn't solve anything. Like,
yeah.
I could see how, like, I can see how, like, if people have higher expectations of you, then you in turn will probably have higher expectations of yourself. But yeah. Like, don't wag your finger and scold to all black youth for, like, having their pants down.
That's totally, that's just rapist arrogance right there.
That's some RA, yeah.
Some RA? Okay, there's an acronym. That's disturbing. There's an acronym now. Well, that is now. Made here on the Black and Jew podcast.
We don't want to be famous for that.
like the amount of girls that you know and I know that have been raped is, it would be really surprising if we actually figured it, if we actually knew. Like, that's, so many women are, it's fucking crazy. Like, if you peer behind the curtain, like when I was in that group, that support group, and the amount of women that came out and said that they've been sexually assaulted astounded me, you know? And as a guy, like, you don't understand the unsafe environment of the world. You're just like, well, I'm playing the video game on the default mode. So.
Exactly. And, you know, it's astounding because we're not prepped with the tools with how to, like, when someone comes out and expresses that to you, you're shocked. You know, you've never had a class or a crash course on, like, this is how you should, you know, you should treat or approach a victim, or, like, you know, if this ever happens to you, these are the right things to say, you know, like, you're just, like, you go through this, like, very pristine world where, like, one, just talking about it, like, people, one, probably don't even want to talk about it. Like, it's even hard for
advocates. It's an uncomfortable subject to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah, exactly. And like, just like you said, like, the arrogance of Bill Cosby, he was, like, you're not gonna say anything. You're just gonna, like, be here and tell us not to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, don't talk about it. Did you do it? Don't. Talk about it. That's my stance.
It'll go away. It worked every other time. Why isn't it working this time?
Fuck, I don't know how the internet works. God damn it. Okay, you know, this kind of reminds me of another, a little more lighthearted controversy happening right now, is that, you know, people, they will go through great lengths to defend things. And I see this the most in sports, and I'll even do it in sports too, that, like, I'll, like, overlook a team's flaws or a person's flaws if, like, they're winning. You know what I mean? And have you heard of Balghazi? Have you heard of this happening, Reggie?
Of what? Like just like a sports team doing really well. So he was just like, yeah, they're doing good. Don't knock it. Don't.
No. Balghazi is when the Patriots, they were found to be deflating their balls, right?
Uh-huh.
And what happens is, right, is during this game, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. And during the playoffs, the referees noticed that the balls were a little deflated, right? And the more you deflate a ball, the easier it is to grip, okay? So what allegedly the Patriots were doing were deflating the balls a little bit and so they could throw better and not have fumbles and hold on to the ball better, right? And what I think is so, like, all these Patriot fans are defending the Patriots, but they so did it because in 2007, Peyton Manning, or not Peyton Manning, fucking Tom Brady was really hardcore about changing the rules that the offense is in control of their own balls and they're the ones that get to inflate it, right? Which is, why would you do that? Oh, so the referees aren't the ones in charge of inflating it, right? And then right after that rule change, the Patriots became this crazy fumble anomaly where they fumbled less than any other team, so much so that it was just like, there's no statistical way that it was a coincidence, right? This one guy laid it out on a chart and showed how ridiculous it was. Like, the facts were so obviously there. And then some people are like, oh, but and the New England Patriots are really good at not getting fumbles. But everyone that was on the New England Patriots, and once they were traded to another team, their fumbles went back to normal, right? So you have this crazy statistical anomaly, right? And if you look at the comment sections, everyone's like, that's fucking bullshit. Correlation doesn't equal causation, which is a great thing to say in a statistical argument when you don't know what it means. And it's so obviously happened, but it's so funny to me how people are going out of their way and just like, no way. I don't care that this was this abrupt fumble change in 2007 that has no explanation other than they were doctoring the balls. Like this, they like Bill Belichick, who's a known cheater who got caught filming people improperly, right? Like, he's not cheating. Like, are you fucking kidding me? It's so ridiculous. You should see, watch the Louis C.K. bit on it. Because Louis C.K. just says the most amazing thing. He's like, yeah, I'm a Patriots fan, but yeah, they did it. But I don't care because that means we win. He's like, what happened was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were like, hey, how about we break this rule and win more? And they're like, yeah, that's great. But what if we get caught? Just say we didn't do it. And that's like exactly what's happening. It's so funny.
That's hilarious. Oh, yeah. My gosh. So. Damn, people, another case of people taking their sports really serious.
Yeah, it's just like you want to believe something so bad, but it's like, no, you didn't.
The golden fingers, they can just yeah, gripping balls like crazy.
No. Someone's like, you cherry picked the data. It's only six seasons. You only have 14 seasons to see it. Like, that's not statistically significant. It's like, dude, are you fucking kidding? Just admit it. Like, he cheated. Who cares? It's a football.
Wait, 14 seasons? That's a pretty... you cherry-picked the data.
It's so ridiculous.
How, yeah. This is just, like, it's always amazing how, like, from the most serious to the least serious, people are willing to, like, just do the, like, intricate backflips of, like...
You know, yeah, like, logical backflips.
Just, yeah. Like, they just want to, like... No, it wasn't then. See, look right here. See, there's a smudge on the screen right here, and I can't really take your graph seriously if you got a smudge on there. What color are you using for these lines? Nope, sorry. Do not. You got to use Patriot colors. You're skewing the data if you're not using Patriot colors.
So funny.
So and they're calling it Balghazi?
Yeah, Balghazi or Deflategate. Those are the two.
Deflategate is what I'll go with. Just because I believe that Balghazi is a bit insensitive. Yeah, it's actually kind of pretty insensitive.
John Gregory doesn't think so.
Well, John Gregory.
John Gregory, he's all about it. That's because he's so much white male privilege packed into a person that, like, you know, he feels like he can do whatever he wants because he's got so much white male privilege.
Balghazi.
You hear this, John Gregory? You better be fucking listening. You goddamn... Sorry, sack of white male privilege shit.
Damn. But speaking, well, you mentioned Louis earlier. You know that Louis recorded a new special. And
I know. I got the long-winded email.
Yes, I actually wanted to talk about the long-winded email, which I think was a very beautifully crafted email.
I didn't read the whole thing. I'm not. I read part of it before while I was waiting for you to get on Skype. Right, give me a too long didn't read. Give me the TLDR.
I read the whole thing and I just reading it, and you like when you get a chance, read the whole thing. I highly recommend the listeners read the whole thing, because if you're like a comedy nerd, this is a very interesting account of like the comedy club and just like a really big insight on Louis, you know, and just how like what went into like, you know, crafting this special and why he's in a comedy club, why he's in the comedy shop, you know. And reading it,
Comedy shop.
I think that's the name. That's
comedy store. The comedy store.
Comedy store. I'm gonna open up the comedy shop.
The comedy shop. Do it. Comedy Walmart.
Comedy Walmart. I can call it Walmart because of the satire law. Like I could Comedy Walmart, where we just sell like rubber chickens.
Comedy Walmart. Sell rubber chickens. It's a hack Walmart.
It's a hack.
Hack Mart.
Hack Mart. Wall Hack Mart. So I enjoyed reading the email because he's just like talking about how like, you know, like comedy was born from like, you know, people just talking crap in like tight spaces and drinking, you know. Comedy was born in like the club, you know, people standing up in front of microphones and like talking, and like the roof's real low, people are drinking, and people leave their jobs and pay money to laugh harder than they usually do outside outside of this environment. And you know, I really wanted to like come into this special because one, I missed making a special, I didn't do one last year, and two, I wanted to bring it back to the roots. And he's talking about how, like, if he had took a tally of everywhere he stood in his life, he probably stood in comedy clubs way more than anywhere else. And I just thought that, like, reading the email, I was just really into what Louis was saying. And it just, like, I don't know, it kind of gave me, like, it kind of pepped me up. It gave me some energy. Like, I was like, damn, this is comedy. This is a guy that's doing comedy, like, you know, more than likely better than anyone else is doing comedy. And this is where he's at right now. And this is, and he has a total love for the game, you know? So I thought it was a really cool email and I really enjoyed it.
I can't wait to see it. I wonder if it's the same material that I saw at the forum in Inglewood.
Oh, interesting. I want to see it. I want to see, like, how like it was, you know, shot in that environment. I've seen comedy specials like that were shot in comedy rooms, you know, but I want to see a Louis special, who's a total, like, you know, I don't want to say auteur, but that's kind of what he is.
He's a fucking auteur. He is.
Yeah. So
I think that's fair. If there's anyone that's an auteur, he's an auteur, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's
sets his own, like, probably works really closely with the music supervisor, directs, shoots, has lenses. Yeah. He actually has lenses, like, oh, I want this lens over this lens. He has a preference to, like, a camera. So,
oh, well, if he's got camera preferences, it's going to be a cinematic masterpiece. No question. If he prefers cameras.
If he prefers cameras.
It's like he's an auteur. He prefers cameras. He prefers one to the other.
So, yeah.
All right, so you want to do the wrap-up?
Let's do the wrap up.
Speaking of, if there's anybody in Los Angeles who listens to this, which I'm not sure there is, I will actually be at the Comedy Store Belly Room for the C Word show on Thursday at 8 p.m. So please come see me and buy some drinks.
If there's anyone in Miami that listens to this, continue.
That's you, Aunt Stelly. That's you, Josh Silverman.
Continue listening. You can find the Black and Jew podcast on Twitter at Black and Jew Pod. All right. Please tweet us. You can also email us if you know us personally. We'll answer them. And
or we got blackandjewpodcast@gmail.com also.
Yes. And that's pretty much it, guys. You can catch Mike Marinoff. What's your Twitter, Mike?
Mike Marinoff.
All right. He's soon going to be the best tweeter of LA. Just you wait and see.
Yeah,
and,
it's going to be hard. Big shoes to fill.
And I'm going to still continue being the most inactive Twitter in Miami. All right. Tough shoes to fill. All right, guys. Until next time.
See you later.
See you later.